Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Harry, what's going on, baby? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Other than just trying to keep these gators down.
Yeah, this is a special show. I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it.
Every time you say that, it sounds more and more like a hostage note that you're reading. This is a special show. We are being treated
we
good.
We are being treated
death
good.
To the West.
America and their fascists. You want to do the introduction, Harry, please?
Yeah, man. I mean, we have some unique guests, but this is definitely a unique guest among our many unique guests, because this man is the only, not the only person, but he's one of the few people who've done a special, I believe, which is also available in Mandarin. He'll correct me if I'm wrong on this. A new 1 hour special. He's also the only comedian, I believe, with his own cryptocurrency. Give it up for Brett Raybould, everybody. The Renaissance man himself, Brett Raybould.
Or the weirdo, either way, whatever.
That's right, man. I'm good to be here. I got my balls in check, so all it's right. Glad to be here.
That remains to see. We'll see.
You guys are the judge whether I have my balls in tow. All right, that's fair. I'm cool with that.
We don't have to see him, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So first of all, what did you always speak Mandarin, or did you learn, or how did that happen?
No, so that was an idea I had. So I have my hour special on YouTube, and then I just thought it would be funny to have it in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. I don't speak any Mandarin. Okay. I don't know Mandarin. So I just had that idea. So I like. One of my buddies does speak Mandarin, so he did some translating of the jokes on it. And then I also hired a couple people off of Fiverr to do like I hired this guy to do the voiceover for it and translate it. And it was so funny because this dude, so he did voiceover for the whole hour, all the jokes I have.
Right.
And then he messages me and he's like, just let me know if that works for you, if there are any mistakes. And you're like, dude, I don't fucking know Mandarin.
How am I gonna find out?
I just have to go off faith that it.
Right.
You're not just saying like I'm an asshole.
Now,
you know,
is there not? Is there not a like? I mean, you know, you find that sometimes there's a difference in culture in terms of what's. You know what I mean? How do you even? So is it just you just rolling the dice on this?
You know what? I have no idea if it works in Chinese. If the really? I just had them do it.
But we gotta ask Des Bishop. The only guy I know who's done one is comedian Des Bishop, but he actually learned Mandarin, so it's slightly different.
He did his in Mandarin.
Did his in Mandarin, not to downplay yours.
No. So he's like he does stand up in Mandarin.
Oh wow! He does a couple of languages, I think.
Holy shit. Because mine is I speak English and then there is a, you know how there's like a Chinese dub on movies and it doesn't match the, that is that.
Okay, but the opposite way.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But he is actually doing stand up in Mandarin. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it in China as well.
That's way more impressive than the,
oh boy. Sorry to, you know what,
than the bullshit I farted out on.
Brett, thanks for joining us. We're going to try to get Des Bishop on.
It was a good 3 minutes.
It's still pretty cool. I mean, I watched some clips of it. I mean, it's entertaining to watch. I don't understand Mandarin either, so I have no idea how good it is. But
did you do closed caption as well or no?
I think there are English subs on it. That's right. Okay. So. So, no, I mean, I have the English version, which is, you know, but Did you, Harry, I imagine you just scrolled through to go, oh shit, it's still in Mandarin. Like you just kind
of, I mean, I checked out some of the Instagram clips. So some of the Instagram clips are great. I think there's a screen grab of some subtitles where you're clearly, I get what the bit is in English where you're yelling at the audience. Well, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
But the Mandarin translation to English is even more hilarious because I can't imagine that's what you said. But let me find it while you guys, I'm going to find it.
It is funny because there are just English words that don't
translate.
So it'll just be like Sun Dong Bao Du Dong Dong George W. Bush. It's like Dong Dong Arby's.
It's crazy. And what you just thought it would be funny and figure you do shoot your shot.
So much of my stuff is just like, I just think it would be weird and funny. And if it's not too difficult of a joke, like if that took hours and hours and if it cost a lot of money, honestly, that was like, it cost me in total probably around $150 paying freelancers. And I go, even I can afford that.
Right.
That is a, for how long it lasts, that is a worth $150.
Yeah. And that ain't bad. Fiverr is a good place to go, bro.
Yeah.
It's a good place to grow.
You start getting your guests off Fiverr. You're like,
okay. So I have something.
Can you put it on the screen up?
It's a picture. Oh, wait, I don't have it on. I pulled it up on my phone, but it's you yelling at your saxophone player. And then the subtitle, he adamantly denies that he gave himself an encore and condemns any assertion that he did as salacious, scurrilous drivel.
Scurrilous drivel.
Is that, I mean, is that the English word?
Scurrilous
drivel.
So it makes
you yelling at your saxophone player, which I don't know why you have a saxophone player, but that also makes it. I mean, he's also doing it in a tuxedo. It's great. It's great stuff. Just in general.
If you like the Mandarin version, I'll tell you what, the English version makes probably more sense. It's
a little bit.
I'm pretty proud. It's a weird special. It's the only special where the comedian retires at the end of it. It's called, Brett Ray Will Retires from Comedy. I retired within the special so that I could pursue a career in jazz. I did about an hour of traditional stand-up, and then I said I'm retiring from comedy so I could pursue a career in jazz. I released a jazz album called Brett on Bublé. It's a cover album of Michael Bublé songs.
That's insane.
It went 34 on jazz, just below Harry Connick Jr. So, it's weird, Dante. It's a weird piece of comedy. I know you're like, you're still doing, I unretired.
So you're doing comedy again now?
Yeah, I had to unretire about 2 weeks later. Turns out I severely miscalculated my finances and I didn't have enough money to coast.
Now, did you want to quit and just did it for finance or did you miss comedy and want to go back?
I mean, I wanted to do the bit of retiring so that I could be a jazz singer. To answer your follow-up question, no, I don't really have any singing talent. within the bit, I'll always act like I was destined to be a singer. But if I don't play the character,
right.
I was doing it for the bit. Okay. Not to mention, like, I like the idea of adding stakes to a show. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not a big draw. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
You might be shocked. No, but
not in this country, but I mean,
you're off the hook. They roll out the red carpet for you when you go to China, bro.
That's right, man. That's right. I got millions of fans out there, but so it also, like, it's a funny, weird thing to do. And it also, when I said retires from comedy, me, who's not a draw, had an easier time selling out the venue I did it in. I did it at Stand Up New York. So,
okay.
I was able to, that's about 140 seater, which I don't have that, that amount, but with some of the stakes and the weirdness of the show and, just kind of, promoting it at every spot I had in the city where I would just say, hey, I'm retiring from comedy. I'd have random people be like, oh, that's weird and interesting. And
all right, let me go see what he does.
Let me go see if this guy, it's a good idea.
That's the weird part of human nature is that. Not to offend Brett, but just by your own statement, you go, no one gives a shit about this. Yes. But now that I'm unretiring, all of a sudden it's a draw in a weird way. And it just shows you the nature of how influenced people are by labels of things.
Yeah.
You know, how you're able to really manipulate people to a degree, or how you can just change your perspective the way you present something. Because it's just another show in theory and two weeks later, but it's unretiring. And now it's a big unveil. Oh, you got to see this.
Oh, you got to see this guy. Brad is coming back.
Yeah, that's like, this guy is retired. Wow, he must be good if he's retiring. I mean, at my level, it's like giving up.
How long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing stand up about seven and eight years. And then full time for like three and a half. I've been able to like chop out a living from a lot of like self-produced one nighters on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. So although that, you know, like for many, obviously the pandemic has made that a more more challenging continuity of my.
Tell me about this Bitcoin. You got your own Bitcoin.
There it is. I got the stupid hat too. This is the dumb hat I wear.
What's the name of the coin?
It's called Bretcoin. I'm the world's first publicly traded comedian. So, you know, if you go to Bretcoin.org, it's basically the world's first cryptocurrency by a comic. And, you know, if you think I'm funny, you can buy in. It's trading on an exchange called Uniswap, for those who know crypto. And if you think I suck, then you should probably sell or, you know, or go short on it. But I mean, it's part bit, and it's kind of like a lot of things I do. It's part bit, but it's part earnest project. Like,
well, the thing is, you really did it. I mean,
you actually have a coin.
You actually have a coin. So.
Yeah. I didn't develop the technology. So there's a fan of mine who is a 17-year-old high school senior. And it's already sounding weird when I say his age. But this guy one time messaged me on Instagram, and he was like, "Hey man, I'm a fan. I'd love to just chat with you." And so I was like, "Sure, man." And I call him up. And the first thing he said was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you." When it's like, this dude has no idea how available I am. Yeah.
You want to talk now? I mean, right now? I mean, are you going to go to school? Can I call you after you get out of school?
I'm like hitting him up like, "Yeah, when are we talking? Like, what are we talking?" He's like, "Whoa."
By three days into it, he's like, "This fucking guy, I can't avoid this fucking Raybold."
That's kind of what actually happened, because, you know, so I told him on the phone, I was like, "Yeah, I want to develop my own crypto." And kids are so good at making tech. I was like, "Do you know how to do that?" And he goes, 100%, I know how to do that. So I was like, "Do you want to do this with me?" And he was like, "Fuck it. Let's do it." So it wasn't until recently where he was like, "I had no idea what I was doing, but I just wanted to be involved in the project."
Uh-huh. And he just figured it out.
He figured it out. It's like, it actually is trading on an exchange. We launched with what I call an IBO, which is an initial Brett offering of 100,000 tokens at about 12 cents per token. We sold
all so very Andy Kaufman-esque, which I love about it. But it also must suck, because
how many did you sell?
Yeah.
So I sold almost in pre-market, I sold about 50,000. And then currently in market, I've sold about 50,000. So around $10,000 worth.
Nice.
It's all the money. People go, "Is it going to your pocket?" No, it goes toward two things. One, building the liquidity of the token. And two, and it's part of why I launched it, is it's not just a bit. I'm actually trying to raise money to make a movie. One of my really good friends from Life and Comedy and I wrote a movie. We won a big script contest. We sent it out to all the managers, producers, and agents at this, winning this big contest afforded us. And most people said, like, "It's really funny. We don't want to be the ones to make it." It makes sense if I tell you kind of what the movie's about, because it's kind of artistically seemingly risky or risky.
Did you pitch it to them while wearing that hat? Because that might have been, I would feel like that might have been part of the problem.
They're like, "I don't know if we should buy this movie from the special needs guy."
they said no to the movie, but they go, "We'll take some of that cryptocurrency you got."
Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
I go,
"They're like, hey, Lighthouse Production, there's a guy on here with a sun visor from from Hogwarts, the dwarves."
Can we get security? We're being harassed by a man with a propeller hat.
So what's the deal with the movie? What's the what is the
so it's as I try and tell people, it's a, it's basically a modern version of Blazing Saddles. It's okay. if Blazing Saddles was made today, it's like throwback slapstick but updated to fit our modern conversations. The movie is called Race the Movie, and then in parentheses, it's about race. Uh-huh. Now to answer follow up, my co-writer is not white. Just as a heads up. And, you know, what Scary Movie was to the horror movie genre, Race mm-hmm. the Movie is to the, I would say, Oscar bait race movie genre. Mm. So, you know, it makes fun of all the white savior slash prestige race movies in a spoof.
The it, Help and The like, Help. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Green Book.
Wow.
But then its original title, to like give you perspective on what the comedy is, its original title was Not Another Slave Movie. So okay. That should
that and should they kinda, passed on that, huh?
I you know
Paramount
what
said they didn't want anything to do with that.
I don't even know if it ever
I bet you could get the Wayans brothers to do it.
you know what's funny, Dante? You want to hear this true story? I've tried very hard to get it to Marlon Wayans via some odd and creative ways. I really think he's the perfect person for it because I think like you know, movie comedies have kind of suffered in the last decade. I don't know if there's really been a really great one that a lot of people like, a pure capital C comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, I think it's a great idea, dude. I've never seen anybody, and this would be a perfect time to do it. I think, when is Marlon's, doesn't he have an HBO special he's getting ready to drop?
I thought it was Netflix, but let me see.
Is it?
I think it's HBO. So, I mean, I'll tell you this story on the podcast. So I actually went to Marlon, had a show at Gotham like a week or two ago. And I had my co-writer and I, there's that app Cameo. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yeah.
So Cameo, Marlon is on Cameo. I think he raised his rate. When we booked him, he was $500. We made a 30-second video that was like, hey, dude, we don't care about any video message. We're just two writers and comedians. We wrote this movie. We kind of wrote it with you in mind, so we just hope you take a look at it. And he had a little video message back that said, like, that sounds great. I'll have my producing partner, you know, get back, and he listed his producing partner's email. I'll have him hit you back. We said, if you don't like it, then refund us our money. And he said, and if it's whack, I'm keeping your money.
That's funny.
So cut to last about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Marlon's show at Gotham. I went to it and, I brought the script. We never heard from his manager. I don't think, you want to know the truth? Maybe this is ego talking. I don't think his manager ever read it. Cause if he had read it, I think he would have done it.
I absolutely think he would have done it.
Like, cause I really think we wrote, something. I really think we wrote a special movie. That's why I do these quirky odd things.
And when you pitched
Dante,
it to him,
zoom
did
in
you,
and out there for a second. Sorry.
Did you, camera. when you pitched it on Cameo, right? Did you not tell him what it was about?
We told them the premise like in like, you know, 15 to 30 second elevator pitch just to, we mentioned the premise, which is like, you know, Not Another Slave Movie, basically Scary Movie, but for, I think a genre that needs to be made fun of, you know, Hollywood has kind of been.
I think it's a brilliant idea, dude.
I appreciate that.
I really think it's a brilliant idea.
Like, that's why I'm trying really hard to get it made. I really think America, like, I think it's high tide that we have the return of slapstick to movie form. We just don't see it anymore. It's, for whatever reason, I think something happened.
And then
comics.
Somebody to take those kind of movies and make them and just not take it so seriously, what I think would be pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Know? I think that would, yeah, absolutely. Cause it's about a topic that you hear about and you go, a lot of people are like, they're tense or they just immediately go like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I think when you do that, you give things more power.
And
I don't think, like, you know, we're comics. I don't think the right approach is to just like quarantine away a subject and go, don't go there ever.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let me ask you something. How do you do with the ladies? Because I'm gonna tell you what I think. I think
I'm so excited to hear this.
Okay, well, I think you should do really well because of the fact that you're so comfortable in your skin and you're so comfortable in your expression. I could see how you would do pretty fucking good. And if you're not, we definitely need to talk because there's a quality that you have that is the key to attraction. Do you know?
Okay. What quality is that?
It's sincerity? It's sincerity. There's a level of comfort in your skin. It's funny. It's not the six pack. It's not your BMW. It's not your money. None of that keeps a chick. What keeps a chick is truth, credibility, and empathy. Do you know what I mean? And sure. and I think that, you know, we talk about ACE, authenticity, credibility, and empathy. But it really does come down to that. And when you get situations where guys do pickup and stuff, they learn all these techniques and this and that, but there's no honesty, and women can really detect a level of dishonesty, and dishonesty reads as dangerous or creepy. Because if you're being deceptive, sure, you're hiding something. And if you're hiding something, I mean, women, you know, I've said this 1,000 times. When a woman goes out with a guy, she has to consider being murdered. You know, she's gonna decide if you going to Olive Garden with free bread steaks and salad is worth her getting murdered. And so this is a, and moreover than not, they pick the breadsticks. You know what I mean?
They take the risk.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, but when there's a blatant kind of deceptiveness, it feels like to women, it feels like deceptiveness and dangerous. Because why is he hiding? What is he hiding? What? Why is he being deceptive? And I think that you have a really kind of honest take on things. I mean, you're first of all super creative. Any woman would go, wow, this guy's really committed. Like, he has his own Bitcoin, and he doesn't sing, but he wants to do. He's gonna be quit. He's gonna retire to do. I mean, he's a really
Boring. That's for sure.
It's
a waste of time. It's all a good waste of time.
I mean, I feel bad because I don't want. Anytime I get a good joke, I barely want to get up and write it down into my phone. Meanwhile, anytime Brett has an idea, he's got to build a fucking time machine, and he's got to get somebody to pedal a bicycle. Where can I get somebody? Where can I get a rickshaw at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I waste my hard-earned money on this dumb bit for absolutely nobody.
Not yet, until it's for
not
somebody.
Not yet. But I have a feeling that that's going to change eventually. That people takes time for people to catch up to you. You know what I mean? Sometimes. But how do you do? How do you do?
You know, I think I do decently well. I'm not like a Casanova who's out here trying to like woo the ladies, but. You know, when I go on dates, like that's when people talk about like awful dates. I think I'm a pretty good, I'm interested in people. Like I like talking with people, and I think I like weird or bad or awful-ish experiences because they're just kind of interesting. They're kind of funny. Like, you know, like here's an example. I will happily see a band I think sucks. Because if I have like, you know, free tickets or something, if my buddy wants me to come. because that's part of it. So I do okay. You know, I have a girlfriend right now who's, dude, this woman is so much more successful than me. It's funny. And but this, I want to hear your perspective on this.
All right, I'll tell you, Dante is not thrilled with that comment right off the top.
Yeah, that,
Dante,
but we'll go. That sours my fucking.
Hold on, Dante. Hold on. Hold on. Hang with me. So she is. She's fiscally more successful.
Right.
You know, I'm happy with my self-expression. I'm happy that I'm able to scrape out a living at a very. You know, I'm proud of that accomplishment. It's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. But here, I want to hear your perspective on this. This all you'll make fun of perhaps my lack of balls.
Okay.
So my lady, she works at a hedge fund.
I already knew that. Like I was already going to ask you what tight ass job does she have that has no creativity. No, you just, but you know, what drone, what pencil skirt job does she
flat
work
shoes.
At?
What flat shoes? What 2-inch heels job?
Now, in her defense, she is a creative person. I honestly, and you know, she's pretty remarkable that she's working where she works at, given that she's a first generation American. Her parents immigrated here from Cuba when they were like 20.
Okay.
So and in her head, she's not trying to stay there forever. She's 26. She wants to do a couple more years and just, you know, secure the bag and have a good financial footing so that she then can probably pursue a more meaningful career, yada, yada, yada. But
when you say creative, how?
How is she creative? I mean, sometimes I feel like it's just conversationally.
You said she's from Cuba, first generation immigrant.
She's from Jersey, born and raised in Jersey, but her parents are
from Cuba. So they've been, you know, there's something to going through some shit. You know, there's something to going through some shit, you know, with your parents, you know, have gone through some shit, came here, you know, for the better life, this, that, the other. There's something to that in general that I think gives somebody the depth of humanity, because you know what it is to not have or to have people that you love, ones that don't have, you know.
Right.
But creative is a strong word when you talk about somebody who just is a, you know, good person, or somebody that has depth to their personality because they've suffered or been through or seen suffering or whatever. I think that's a different thing. And so what I my take on it is, first of all, that a woman never dates somebody who she doesn't think is better than her. Never happens.
Interesting.
If she doesn't think you're better than her.
Better being a relative term, of course.
Better is a relative term, but bad always better.
Sure.
So the minute you become not better than her, she dumps you. That's when the relationship goes to shit. So, but what you have I've had this.
You also said this. I want to add this, Dante, because you said this last time. I think it's important to add when you make that statement that she's adding something to her life that she does not already have.
Absolutely.
And that's part of what makes it better. So let's say, for example, a woman is very financially secure, but she might not be emotionally secure, or she might not be physically secure. She might need you to comfort her physically. So it might not be financial support. It might be something else. Because I think sometimes people get the idea that it's just about supporting her.
She basically is going, I know how to get the bag. I don't need a dude that knows how to get the racks. So I don't need that, but I'm not fulfilled in that. And I can do that. And I'll put my nose to the grindstone. I mean, people who have suffered, especially immigrants who have suffered, they know how to wake up and go to work and do the shit job. The thing that they hate doing, because they know there are always periods of time where you don't even have that as an option.
Sure. Okay.
So there's that. But, years ago, I remember being 23 years old. I was dating this this FBI agent, this chick, smoking hot, crazy body. She's about in her mid-30s. I was like 23.
Oh, wow. Are you sure you were dating her, or is this a porno that you saw? Because this is very specific. Sometimes I feel like you confuse real life.
A lot of my stories are porno stories. If you really want. Yeah.
Remember that time you were dating that girl who was a cheerleader and a MILF at the same time?
Dante was a pizza delivery guy, I believe.
Yeah. I was like, who ordered the sausage?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
but
23 dating a mid-30-year-old and a successful career woman.
Oh, like, yeah, she clearly had it all together, had a Glock, you know,
that's the definition of having it all together. You know, she's got her shit together, she's
condo, you know, got BMW, the whole shit.
Okay.
And at the time I was a male stripper at the time, right?
Oh shit, yeah.
And she you know, perfect house, everything impeccable, but always worried about the next thing, the bills to this. I was living at home on a futon in my mom's basement, right? And just didn't give a fuck. I just always felt like, look, I don't have money. I'll make some money. I mean, I always kind of had found ways to get money and stuff, but
right.
It just, my concern for those things just wasn't there. And I realized that she was with me because of that. Like, she had it all together. She had, everything was very precise and put into place. But the bottom line with any of it was she didn't have the recklessness that I had. Like, I just didn't, like, yo, well, you know, if it don't work out, we'll figure it out. Like, we'll figure it out. And that's what she, it also is what she loved about me and what she hated about me.
Sure.
You know, which a lot of times it's like, it's fine. But I was a strong enough personality that I would just go, look, it's it'll be fine. I go, yeah. I mean, what, do you still have your job, right? She goes, yeah. I go, well, you're going to get a check next week, right? So but I have to do this to my manager. It's like, let's relax. Let's just fuck. And it'll all fall into places.
In all fairness, that's your solution to a lot of problems.
Kinda, yeah, let's just fuck and it'll all fall into places.
Man, I think the power's out in the house. Let's just fuck and see what happens.
I have a rash on my genitals. Yeah. Let's just fuck. Let's just fuck it off.
If I had a nickel for every time that was my response, I'd have a whole lot of nickels.
Yeah. If you had a Brett coin from every time,
you would not be selling Brett coin. I'd have more.
You'd be a majority shareholder.
So I think what happens is in this is that what comes easy to you, this is this creativity and this recklessness. What you perceive is just like, fuck it. I'm going for it. Right.
Sure.
And she doesn't have that. And that's, so you, that's what she gets from you,
which is true. Like, you know, I have had conversations with her about, you know, just other men she's dated, other dates she's gone on, yada. And she's just told me, like, she's dated, you know, probably a lot of boners in her, in her field that are, she's sure. Just like, they take her to a nice place, but you know, if the conversation's boring in a nice room, who cares?
Yeah.
To a degree, obviously. Still
and you
having,
can get it. You can go get a hot dog and it'll be a ball.
That's right. That's right.
Brett will go, hey, let's go get some pizza. I got a rat costume I got to put on. I'll explain later. Just hold the camera and like, all right, let's do it.
Listen, I just want you to hit me with a live chicken. Yeah. Brett,
that's what I'm into. That's just what I'm into. Sexually, I want a live chicken in the bedroom.
It's an interesting thing because what comes so easy to you, it's really not easy. I mean, Harry has a bit of that kind of Kaufman-esque kind of thing in him, you know. But yeah, Harry, you don't really, you, if there's, I know, because Harry won the Andy Kaufman Award.
I won the Andy Kaufman Award.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. That's a
Which I think you would be, just knowing what you do now, I think you would be winning it this
Dude,
year.
Tell me more.
You're still around.
Yeah, he did it. He lost in a couple years in a row.
What I did was I kept losing. I would do bits, and I think I was so good that they kept having me back every year. I'd do something new every year, but I lost like 4 or 5 years in a row.
That's even more Kaufman-like.
Right. So the final one was I just went on stage and did a rant. How about I'm sick and tired of losing the Andy Kaufman Award. Then I made a short film where I built a time machine and then traveled back in time to kill all the people who won the Andy Kaufman Award so that I could be the only one who would win it.
That's a hands down. That has to hands down be the winning thing.
And he was
it
talking.
Won.
He set it up so the video. He was talking,
I was talking to
the,
myself, future self, video, which you future. Can watch on YouTube if you look up my,
I'm gonna
my
look this
YouTube
up.
Page. Harry Turjanian Andy Kaufman Award. It's a long thing, but I think you'd appreciate it. But man, it was a lot of work.
Look at Brett's eyes when you're telling her. He's like, oh yeah. Brett's jacking off.
Rubbing my nipples. I'm like, oh shit, Harry, tell me more. Fuck. Let me go grab my live chicken so I can wipe one out.
He really went to town on that. I mean, he did great stuff before that, but he just didn't wing the and then the judges, because some of the judges were previous winners. And so he actually assassinated them
in the video. I got the previous winners involved.
Yeah. So funny, man.
I had him do cameos and stuff. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it's a lot of creativity, man. Like, you have to find something really out there. But that's what's great about you. So do you ever bring that into the dating life at all? Because you're very creative. The problem is sometimes really creative people leave it on the stage, so to speak. You're a really creative dude because you're coming up with all these different concepts and you're all these projects that you're doing. Do you ever bring that into the relationship or dating?
I mean, I think it's certainly a component of who I am because, you know, but it's not like I'm on a first date like, hey, I had a hour special. It's on YouTube. Do you want to watch? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. You're not like self-promote. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll get my plugs in wherever I can.
Dates, do you go, do you guys take Bitcoin? you guys, I don't know. So what are you talking about? Oh, you don't guys take Breckcoin? You know
what kind of establishment is this? What kind of Pat? You guys are going to close down soon if you don't have the most mainstream currency on the market.
Yeah. Insane.
Sorry, babe. Breckcoin. I don't mean to explain it to a novice, but it's a currency that I
actually own. I own it.
I own it. So yeah. What's it worth? Potentially billions. Yeah. so, you know, that's my goal, guys. I actually, with Breckcoin, I am trying to become comedy's first billionaire. Jerry Seinfeld is at $980 million. So I got some catching up to do.
But you know, you never know. You know, you're like a Jamaican track star. You finish come out strong in the end, bro.
He did one show. You're doing 17 projects.
We all know Breckcoin is a bigger deal than Seinfeld. What kind of rinky-dink show was that?
It might be a bigger deal in China. I don't know if Seinfeld's in China.
I don't know. Do they know about your Breckcoin? Did you announce your Breckcoin on your special?
I've tried. No, the Breckcoin, that idea came later. Although, here's the next bit idea. Just to let you guys know, it's called Brett Rabel Goes Public. I'll do a bigger IBO. And I'll do like a little finance presentation on why I'm a good investment. So that's the next hour special, or like it'll, you know, mix of traditional stand up with weird stuff, which is like what I try and I love doing.
How did the special do on YouTube in China?
So they actually don't have YouTube in China. The Mandarin version has like 1,000 views. My like English one has like 55, 56.
Now, is there any way you could get it to China? Like, is there a platform that you're there, or it's just everything is?
I actually don't know, because Chinese government is very, they're very anti my stand up comedy specifically. But
they told you that?
I got a letter from President Xi or Jinping said, nah, these jokes stink.
Listen, this is not good. This doesn't go along with the supreme leader.
they have their own version of YouTube or something. I forget what it's called. I might see if I can upload it.
There's got to be somebody who's got a window into China.
Here's the crazy thing about this. Once you make it as a comic, your Brett coin is going to blow the fuck up. Can you imagine if Kevin Hart did a fucking cryptocurrency?
Well, that's the thing. This is why mine is a good one, because I'm not famous, because I haven't landed. I'm not some very successful guy, because that's the investment you want to make. The one that you know.
Man, he's getting me. This son of a bitch.
I think I'm gonna have to.
I can't risk not doing it. I'm gonna feel like an asshole now. Just for the purpose that he brought it up.
Go get 100 coins. If it goes up to $1,000,
I gotta do it. All right. I have some cryptocurrency, if I can figure out how to use that app.
So it's called Uniswap. Go to uniswap.org. I also have a how to buy Brettcoin on the YouTube channel. It's a 3 to 4 minute tutorial.
All right. I'm gonna do this. I think I have to do this.
I will be honest. Like, you're basically making a bet that I'll get more famous than where I am right now. I can't get less famous, quite literally. So, and I'll be honest. Hey, baby, I'm not gonna
empty out the bank account. We gotta go to the bank tomorrow morning. Don't ask why. Taking out a loan.
It's smart, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, we got off track again. I wonder, do you bring any of this insane and wonderful creativity to your relationships and stuff?
I try and be creative within the relationship. Doing weird things that can surprise a partner, but I do reserve most of my creativity probably for pursuing and attempting comedy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the one thing I did want to get your guys' take on, because I think you'll either make fun of me. Like I set up, my lady works at a hedge fund, very successful job. But this is what's bullshit. Mm. I still pay for most dinners. How fucked up is that? I'm like a broke comic.
Well, let me ask you this. Would she pay for it, or is it that you insist on paying for it?
I insist less and less the more we date.
How long have you been dating?
About five to six months.
Oh, it's early, dude. I I don't make fun. Look, I pay the bill. You know, I always pay the bill.
Early on, I'm like, just as a guy, I'm like, just pay it. Just pay it.
Yeah.
Even if the date doesn't go well.
I do that a lot of times. Like, I'm a dude, I'll pick up the bill. If I'm with Harry, I'll pick up the bill. Absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, if we got a bunch of people, a lot of times I'll
very
pick up
generous.
The bill.
Very generous.
And so I think it's not, you know, where you would think I would be against it. Not so much. I think, and this is not just you. This is guys in general. The qualities, their best qualities, and what is most interesting about them, they never think that those things are valuable. They always think that those things have no value. And it makes sense, because those things come easy to you. Like, it's easy for you to create and throw yourself into behind something, and simply because it interests you on an artistic level and so on and so forth. But what you don't understand is that's a very rare thing. Even when you start jacking off because of Harry's Andy Kaufman thing, there's an honesty and a truthfulness in that. So when I say I pay the bill, I don't pay the bill because it's not me showing off. It's just me. I'm a generous dude who I know most of the time. Now, if I'm around people like comics that are way ahead of me and they want to pick up the bill, I usually kind of look. So I do well enough that I can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not in a situation where I'm not rich, but I'm not hungry. I'm not looking for, you know, I'm not worried about nothing. So it's nothing for me to pick up a bill. I mean, there was a time when it was, when I didn't have that and I had to scramble, and I know what that's like. And so it speaks to the empathy of me being a young dude who didn't have things and people didn't pick up the bill for me when they could have. You know, I've always had since I got in this and started doing comedy, I always had a car. I always gave comics rides. I mean, like, I remember in driving Judy Gold home with her big ass feet. And
what a specific memory.
and you know, talking to her, like, I was very young and just picking her brain about comedy and what she, because, you know, I grew up watching her and stuff. And so I think the real point is the truth of it. To the same token, I think, is if you don't have the money, can you say to your girl, look, I just don't have it. You know what I mean? I just don't have it. Can you cover it? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
At this stage, it is truthful at this stage. Like, it would be like, I can pick up these, you know, $30 right. to $50 checks. They're not, isn't breaking my bank. Like, you know, but I will say it does have a vibe. Sometimes when she pays her half, the vibe is like she's treating me. Does that make sense?
Oh, because she pays. Yeah, well, you gotta. But then
she's
think
like,
you gotta,
"You're welcome." I'm like, "The fuck? You just paid for your shit."
Now, if she said you're welcome, you wouldn't. You don't check that.
No, she said in like a playful way, like the vibe. Yeah, to be clear. But I know I will. The way I check it is I check it with a smile. Like, I check it with a smile. I don't make it a deal. But
that's uncomfortable. That's a little uncomfortable. Picking up the bill doesn't bother me. Yeah. Her having the hedge fund, you kind of bullshitted your way on her being creative, but when you know, it's one thing. I don't know. Harry, I don't think I've ever had anybody who says, oh, Dante will pick it up. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think anyone's outright done that. No.
If somebody did that, I would shut it down immediately.
You go out of your way to pick it up. I think some people assume, but nobody verbally ever says.
If I thought that people didn't appreciate it, I would shut it down immediately. Right.
That's
I don't mind. I don't mean. Yeah. Right. Right. So there's a rudeness to it. And if I feel it's not even a joke, it's like, you know, you got more money than me. You know that I care about you and I'm picking this up because I feel it's. But when you start joking about it, I'm like, and I'm not saying I would jump out the window, but I would be like, look, let's be clear. Yeah. Let's be clear that I pay everything. Okay, so I don't like that kind of joke. Like, I make it uncomfortable.
Yeah, I go,
because if you don't, so here's, you know, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. I said I've never known anybody who was disrespectful or unappreciative, where all of a sudden I let it go and then they became more appreciative. Hmm. Whenever they're disrespectful, unappreciative, it always gets worse. It's never a situation where it gets better. So if there's a joke about this, and maybe it was in a playful way, but it's 5 months in, that's only going to get worse.
Right.
Because there becomes this level. I mean, it's not just women. It's just people. I think human beings have a level of entitlement about a level of privilege and entitlement, you know?
Well, yeah. Once someone thinks it's expected, that's when people can forget to be appreciative.
I used to say this all the time, do anything. If you do anything for a woman more than three times, it's no longer a favor, it's an obligation, you know? And I want to be clear. I don't gotta do shit.
Right. Like, no, yeah, you still owe no one. You owe no one anything. So, right.
And then when they say, "Oh, you don't have to do that," and I've said, Harry's been there. I'm going.
I know.
I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to ever do nothing. So I don't need you to tell me. I was just saying, Okay, I understand you were saying, but let me be clear. I know that I don't have to do anything ever. I can do what the fuck I want to do. And if I do something, it's because I want to. So you don't give me permission. I will not let you give me permission for doing what I want to do or what I think is right.
Dante, you have my permission to buy me dinner.
I remember I broke up with this girl. She was at my house, and I'm walking her to her car, and I go, give me a bag. You know, she's got a bunch of stuff because I had bought her a bunch of things, right? She was starting a podcast and I had bought her, it was her birthday, and I bought her like a sound, you know, one of those wraparound sound booths and a mic and a record, you know what I mean? Like I hooked up, so all she had to do was record.
Sure.
And I'm helping her get all the stuff to the car, and I go, give me your bag. And she said, say please. And I go, I gotta say please to carry your fucking bag. I go, yo, we're done.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I need to ask you. I go, we're done.
I'm already doing you a favor,
and it's not a small one because I literally bought all the things that she was taking to her car in the first place. It was like, okay. but the point is, like, you know, a lot of times people will say. And Harry will testify. People think that I jump out the window too quick.
I used to think that.
But it's like I said, it's never a situation where the disrespect happens and then it gets better. It never gets better. It will only get worse. You will only be taken advantage of more. And so you can nip it in the bud now, or you can be mad about nipping it in the bud. But I'm like, the audacity for you to tell me that I need to say please to carry your bag says something about you as a person. Like, mm-hmm. I understand it's not the actual infraction. It's what the infraction alludes to, your selfishness, your ability not to be aware of your surroundings, the fact that I've been so kind to you and now you're comfortable with it. What else is going to happen, but you're going to become more comfortable with it.
On a relationship, you're pretty willing to just go, all right, just cut it because you've been through so much bullshit?
No. It's just because, I always talk about this as subtext to what people do. There's a real, people are communicating all the time. Like I was a street dude. I ran the streets. If you don't catch the red flag, you literally could end up shot. You could end up dead. So I've always been perceptive of what the inference to what somebody's saying. But if you're looking at somebody and they're going, you have paid everything. It was my birthday. You bought all of these things for me. It was thoughtful. It was a thoughtful gift. It was about $600 to $700 in equipment and stuff. I'm carrying the stuff.
Oh, jeez.
And then you go, give me a bag. Give me a bag. And then you go, say please. We're done.
You're like, bitch, say thank you. What the fuck?
I don't even go say thank you. I'm not even having the discussion. I've already made my decision that I'm done. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not saying that we can't renegotiate. Mm-hmm. But I want you to understand, I'm willing to end this yesterday. I'm willing to end this relationship yesterday. And because I don't want to change. Like, so you have a really youthful spirit, you know, that kind of youthful, creative spirit. And when people are abusive, they can steal that away from you.
Oh, wow, dude. You know, we might be wrapping up somewhat soon, but I know that feeling. I was in a relationship.
Why don't we continue this on the Patreon?
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about it. Plug your shit. Plug whatever you want to plug.
We plugged it, but yeah, our special, Brett Rabel Retires from Comedy. It's on YouTube in English or Mandarin. And then Brettcoin, brettcoin.org to learn more. It's for sale. If you know crypto, it's trading on Uniswap.org at about 12 cents per token. So you put it down $100, you can have around 1,000 Brett coin. You know, I think it's a good investment. I think I'm going to get it out there. And even if somehow I can't get it as famous, well, then my comedy career will eventually pick it up because, you know, I think I'm going to be eventually a made man. But no promises. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a financial guru. So,
okay. And then if everybody listening buys a couple Brett,
you'll GameStop this thing.
That's the hope. It's like, you know, right. And then with this token, I intend to make a movie that, you know, it's going to cost a lot. But I'm trying to eventually raise enough to make what I think will be a good movie. So it's cool. It's going to not just me eating cereal in my pajamas.
Dope. Harry, talk to me.
You could go to my website, ihatecomedy.com. All my stuff at Harry Terjanian. But the most important stuff is go to patreon.com/manschool202. And all of our stuff on TikTok as well. So
Everything, just Google me, bitch. Dante Nero. Instagram, The Dante Nero, Facebook, all that good shit. My website, if you want to book some time with me, DanteNero.com, click on consult, you can get me. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. We are out. Follow us on Patreon, really important. Support us because so we can keep doing this. Later.